It was the 11th of November, 1929, and we weren't far away from some of the islands, many islands on this part of the Atlantic Ocean. Rather close we were to Madeira, Puerto Santo, various other little island groups. About 9:30 in the morning, through being the November the 11th, the old man decided to have a 2 minute silence for the armistice ceremony. They all crowded around on the poop. Some of the passengers, they took photographs of us, all arranged there. 12 hours after this, we were in trouble. Exactly 12 hours, 9:30 in the evening. I had turned in my bunk, being the watch below, 8 to 12 at night. And suddenly a cry came, all hands on deck. Tumbled out of my bunk pretty quickly, smartly. Got up on the top of the forecastle there. And there ahead of us was breakers, white in the moonlight. Roaring quite loudly too. All hands dashing out from one place to another. Orders given, staccato fashion, one after the other. Mizzen braces. What had happened, we sailed into a sort of a cul-de-sac. We passed over a reef. I think the reef would be somewhere about there. Just about covered with water. But in front of us, there was another reef. And we sailed over this one and landed in this one before we knew where we were. At this point, we tried to tack ship. That means got one side of the northeast trade wind to the other side. We couldn't manage this. So the next order was to worship. This was to bring the wind around the stern. Rather a difficult job in such a narrow, confined space. When we got to the point where they shouted out, main brace, at this point, she crashed. Well, quite a few of us made a dive for the old donkey house, expecting any moment the masts and the yards and the blocks to come tumbling down round our heads. But the foremost, which of course was right over the reef, stood pretty remarkably fast. Some of the gear did slack, a few blocks fell, but nothing worth talking about. Because the next thing was the carpenter had to sound the well. This is always done in the case of a wreck. He came along with the very bad news, with a great hole in our bow. The old man decided, after about 10 minutes or so, to abandon ship. Now, we were at a list to port. We were like that, in other words. We were leaning right over. So they tried to get the starboard boat down. That's the one on this side. And they got away with the boat half full. This boat on this side, of course, by the time we got her in the water, all the rest of the crew had to get into her. Night time, don't forget, pitch dark. The moon by this time having gone down. A certain amount of lads crawled across to the other ship, a bit of a dog crawl between the two boats. Then we thought we might get to a place called Sal Ray. This was way to the north of the island. So we got the oars out. Next minute we found ourselves in one mass of water and rock and reef. We were in a very bad position. So the old man said, right, the two of us get together and anchor for the night. Now when the dawn broke, there was a steamer, silhouette of a steamer. You could just see it in the morning light. Now, probably, our old man had seen this steamer the night before, in the distance. She was bolt upright, she had water all round her, and she appeared to be sailing. Well, someone might say, well, you could tell if she was sailing whether she had lights aboard or not. Well, I'm afraid that Greeks, Norwegians, Italians and people like this, and some British tramps too, in the old days didn't bother too much about side lights. They used to save the oil. And they used to steam through the night in pitch darkness. And I suppose our captain thought, well, it's an old tramp, Mediterranean tramp, and where she can go, we can go. Later on we learned she was called the Aspimendi. She was a Spanish steamer. She'd been ashore on the reef, bolt upright, for years. Anyhow, the natives swam out to us, jumped aboard. They took hold of the steering oar. They were fine boatmen. So it didn't take them long to handle the boat in very skillful fashion and bring her through all these jagged and treacherous reefs. and bring us on to the beach. We're there 5 minutes before the old man said, look, we're going to have another bash of getting back aboard of us, see if we can get some gear. We had no gear, very little stuff with us. We hadn't got time to take anything. But these natives said, yes, we'll take you out in our feluccas. We got on our decks. There wasn't a thing. The natives had looted it from stem to stern during the night. Anyhow, we found some tins of condensed milk and some biscuits, ship's biscuits. Next thing was, we were sitting on the beach, nibbling at these things and drinking, if you can call it drinking, the condensed milk. Of course, we were getting very dry. The sun was terrific. I suppose about 90 in the shade or more. Then a native came along with a bottle in his hand. Bebe, bebe, he said. Well, some of us understood a little bit of this Portuguese, Spanish, West African patois. And we understood he tried to ask us, did we want a drink? So, oh, yes, yeah, see, see, or yeah, yeah, whatever it was. So, we knocked this stuff back. On the bottle, it had something about Cidre de Champagne, some other fine thing. It was champagne cider. It's one of the bottles of the 10,000 or the 100,000 bottles that were part of the cargo of this ship, the Aspimendi, the one that was on the reef. The natives had taken, they'd taken all off the ship, they'd looted the ship and tied it from stem to stern, and up amongst the sand hills, in pits, they'd bedded this stuff. Now, of course, the first time, it's going to be some use to them. That was useful to us, too. They brought it down, and we had a few little drinks. Nobody paid anything. We had nothing to pay for it. Until late at night, jumping the thing a little bit, the story a little bit, one of our chaps offered a shirt for the champagne cider. Wasn't long before all these natives were coming down saying, camisa, camisa, champagne, champagne. So it was a matter of black dog for white monkey, a shirt for a bottle of champagne. Then it was trousers, pantalones, pantalones. And so it was going on. Until, at last, to quote a contemporary newspaper, we were all laying around the beach, nude and stewed. Anyhow, the next move was, a cutter took us across to the port of Mindelo. This is the main port of the Cape Verde Islands. And eventually we sailed away in two ships that came to South America, to Liverpool, where we clued up the end of this disastrous voyage in the Shipping Federation office, where they gave us quite a feed and a glorious send-off, where all the reporters came and wanted to know what it was all about.